Let's begin with the reading of our scripture, which is from the fourth chapter of Romans and Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And with your indulgence, I'm going to interrupt in this reading with some commentary. Hopefully it might be helpful, but I'm going to do a little of that. But you read along with me, and then you can stay with me if you will. Romans, the fourth chapter, verses 16 through 21. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That's taken from Genesis, the 17th chapter. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said of him, so shall your offspring be. That's from Genesis chapter 15. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. You see, God was able to understand that Abraham was human enough to be thinking at this point, possibly, how is this possible, even for God? Because God had told him he was going to have a son. And God answered him, this is from Genesis 18, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. But you see, even though it was in their scriptures, in the Jewish Torah, Jesus had to remind his disciples of this truth. From Matthew 19, in the verses of the 20s of Matthew 19, they just encountered the man that we call the rich young ruler. And Jesus has explained how hard it is for the rich to enter into heaven. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, he said. And the disciples then asked him, how is it possible for anyone to be saved? And Jesus, in verse 26 of Matthew 19, said, he reminded them what God had said to the father of their faith, to Abraham. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's the truth that Abraham believed through faith, as we read in Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. Well, we haven't read that yet, but we're going to. Now, I want to tell you what I just did. That's called cross-referencing. Checking what the writer of Romans, Paul, said with what Jesus said with what was said in Genesis. Actually, I could have done that through the whole section there of Romans 4. All through verses 16 through 21. As a matter of fact, I have those cross references right here. I know you can't see them too well because it's in blue, but there's a lot of them there, and just in those few verses. And where I cross reference verse 21 there, showing how the truth of that verse about how God having the power to do what he promises is also found in Genesis 18 and in Matthew 19, those two references. If I had cross-referenced all of the verses of Romans 4, 16 through 21, I could have given you 16 more cross-references for those six verses. And it was interesting to me as I was rummaging through the yard sale things, and there might be one or two things left. One of the things that was left that I went downstairs and got this morning was this Strong's Concordance. This is a cross-reference. Now I want to show you something. This is what it looks like. You can't read that. I can hardly read that from here. That's how detailed the cross-references is in the Bible. You see, it's just a small sample here and a large sample there of how thoroughly the scriptures back each other up mightily. One section verifying another. So now I'm going to read you Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. Well, today we're going to continue our study, our exploration of faith. We have reviewed in past Sundays some of the heroes of our religious heritage and have seen how they were able to accomplish great things because of their faith. You remember that was the title of my first sermon, Because of Faith. And last week we reviewed some warnings that we receive in life and how God takes our faith and moves us through those warnings to safe fellowship with Him. And now today our scriptures will guide us to understand and be comforted and be patient in a faith that accepts the present because we know we have a great future. We can be patient because we have faith in the great promise of God of a glorious future. You see, faith unites us with God. As in Galatians 3:26, we're reminded of that. Faith makes possible the new birth of our souls. Galatians 3:26 reads, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." By faith, we are new birthed to become children of God. And faith makes walking and talking with God possible as His beloved children. So we might walk and talk with our earthly Father, you know, Father, Son, Father, Daughter. Faith makes it possible for us, well, mind you, understand that with God all things are possible. It is faith that makes it possible for us to see the invisible, to feel the intangible, and to hear the inaudible. So what we see and learn about Abraham, the father of the faithful, is that he trusted in God's goodness for his future. He heard and he heeded the promises of God and depended on God to be trustworthy to deliver those promises. And he patiently waited for them. Abraham's faith gave him a vision of God. Now, just a reminder, I just proposed that faith makes it possible to see the invisible. You got that? Abraham's faith gave him a vision of God. Somehow seeing the invisible God. And having this faith vision, Abraham moved out in faith to go ahead and do these things that he could only trust the God of his vision to lead him to do. You see, he had no AAA triptych. or World Atlas type guide, or a Google map on his smartphone to prepare him for where he was to go and to guide him along the way. Fortunately, Sue has Google Maps on her smartphone. Genesis 12 tells us that he left his homeland in Haran. It's in Mesopotamia, where his father Terah had taken him, and at age 75, in obedience to God's call, God called him first at age 75. That's old. Anyway, in obedience to God's call, he took off for parts unknown. There's just some land that he was to go to, some land called Canaan. And 75 years before that call came. But when it came, his waiting, I don't know whether he knew he was waiting, but his waiting paid off. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, our text for today, makes it very plain what part faith played in this. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Well, he got there and he took a break, sort of a stopover the first time he was in Canaan, the land he was to go to. Later it's called the Promised Land. But he stopped there just for a while without possessing it. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the Promised Land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. After moving around a bit, as we read in Genesis 12, because of a famine in the land, Abraham moved to Egypt. And then he returned to Canaan. That's what's meant by living in tents like a stranger in a foreign country. And verse 10 tells us, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Man, what a faith journey. God took the initiative. Hear that? God took the initiative in calling Abraham. The biblical story is quite explicit. God initiated all of the moves. What Abraham did was to respond in faith and in worship and in obedience. Genesis 12, 7 and 8. The Lord appeared to Abraham, Abram, it's at that point he was Abram, and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And shortly after that, as I mentioned earlier, he moved on to Egypt. Briefly, going to Egypt to escape a famine, and then he reversed his journey and returned to the land of Canaan. Genesis 13 begins this part of the journey. So Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. We can assume that this journey of prayer and seeking experience that he had included praise and heart searching and dedication and rededication and a spirit of sacrifice, all through a very patient faith Abraham had. You see, Abraham's great faith included a concept of eternity. It says he was looking for a city. Verse 10 tells us Abram looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. As a stranger in a land of promise, he moved around with his eyes always upon God. Genesis 12:9 expresses the feeling of this search. It says, and Abram journeyed on. Yesterday at the yard sale, Our sister Phoebe was telling me about a visit several of them made to Mary Rasa this past week. She said, and Rose had told me earlier on Wednesday night, that they were enjoying singing some with Mary. Phoebe told me there was one song, one of Mary's favorites, that they were thinking of, but they just couldn't bring themselves to sing. Well, it's because they're not ready to sing this with Mary just yet. The song's by Jim Reeves. It's, "This World Is Not My Home." But this had to be Abraham's theme song. If you'll excuse me, I'd like to sing a little bit of it. Can I do that, Milton?
Yes, sir.
Because like Mary, this has been one of my favorites. It's been one of my favorites ever since I used to sing it in college with the student group. "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." And you see why they don't want to sing that with Mary just yet. But just as Abraham looked for that city whose builder and maker is God, even so Paul declared that our real citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we can live in the present. And I tell you, sometimes it takes everything we got, spiritually and otherwise, to live now in the present. But in Christ, we are enabled to live in the present because we have a patient faith in the future. A vision of eternity, as Abraham obviously had, will encourage us in a willingness to detach ourselves from those things, for the most part, from unnecessary diversions that represent an unnecessary, perishable, yet present world. In other words, ignore and let go of irrelevant stuff that distracts us. Like mowing your yard on a Sunday rather than attending worship at your church. Well, that's a very simple example, but I'm sure you can imagine some more difficult ones. Lot, for example, Abraham's nephew, lived only for the present with no visible appreciation for the eternal future. You can easily see that in his willingness to have his family, his wife and his daughters, live in the midst of the overt sinfulness of the city of Sodom. And only the oversight of his uncle Abraham led him away from there before God wiped out that wicked city off the face of the earth. Perhaps we shouldn't be too critical of Lot, because to some degree, we all live under the painful pressure of the present, which can cause us to lose sight, even if only for a little while, a spiritual sight of eternal values. So Abraham's type, him as a model, and his vision, even a limited vision of eternity, that will encourage you, that will encourage anyone to have and develop a wholehearted investment, a real faith in the permanent future that we can identify as life with God in eternity. Faith has been described, I think, in a pretty neat way, as the telescope that brings the future into focus in the present. The decisions we make, a focus on the present or looking beyond the present and dealing with the present as influenced by the focus on our Christ-promised eternal life, will directly influence the outcome of our future. In other words, faith is not just for now. It will continue into the future. Abraham's faith in God's promises lifted him to a spiritual greatness. I can easily say people in our current era of world history emphasize instant services, instant stuff. We're always in a hurry these days. Don't know exactly why, it's kind of strange, but it's true. We want instant coffee. We want instant power at the light switch. We want instant success even when we start a new job. I read this during a tour of St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. The tour guide made this point very well, emphasizing the importance of working in the present with a future in mind. The guide indicated that such a structure, which they knew would take many decades to finish, could not and would not have been built if the original builders had not been willing to begin something that they knew it would be their grandsons who would complete. You see, with the eye of faith, we work with a godly patience in the presence of our lives for the highest possible good in the future and glory. Abraham had this faith, and he had this belief system. He believed that God exists. He believed that God is vitally concerned about what happens to people in the present time. He believed that God was trustworthy, even when everyday and even unusual stuff happened in his present world. He gets to Canaan in a drought and a famine shortly after he arrived. There's a need to move to Egypt. There's a strange protection he gets from Pharaoh that he felt he had had to deceive by the loan, a sort of a loan of his wife. Then moving back to the promised land, and what happened? But wars broke out. Then there was a rescue of Lot from Sodom and the area of Gomorrah. And then there's a promise that his descendants would be hugely numerous, even though he still had no son after 98 years. And then there was the command to use his son, his heir, a decade later as an altar sacrifice, basically killing off the future of any descendants that he was counting on. These kind of evidence that kept on coming that seemed to indicate that God was not going to keep his promises, yet he patiently continued to believe in faith that God was trustworthy and that God, his God, always proved to be. Abraham trusted God in the beginning. Well, in the beginning of his call, after 75. Abraham trusted God in the process of life and all of what he did. Abraham died trusting in God. And this continual trust explains why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. And friends, none of us is Abraham or his son Isaac or his son Jacob. But it would be very good of us to look to him as Father Abraham. He set a great and godly example, waiting patiently on God in so many instances. And when we look at his faith, the faith that carried him through for all of his life, his was always a real faith. Well, almost all the time. There were those slip-ups with not telling the truth about Sarah because he had those. Well, what he did was he had momentary failures of trusting that God would protect them against anything and everything. But that was his very human side, and we all have that in us. But faith shouldn't be thought of as a gimmick to be used in emergencies. Abraham's life was not a gimmick driven life, and neither should our lives be. In response to God, we should be faithful, trustworthy, dependable, trusting all the way through our lives, all the way to the point of death. And then, at death, we shall carry over to the rewards of faithfulness. So Christians, our world is full of bad stuff. So be patient in your faith. God is faithful to reward your faith.